Good afternoon. Let's call the Thursday, September 18, 2014 AMATS meeting to order. Looks like we have a quorum. We'll move on to the minutes of the May 18, 2014 meeting. Do we have a motion to approve?
Dave White, move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Move on to number three, staff reports, a financial progress report. This will require a motion also. Mr. Zegarty.
All right. Thank you. Financial progress report was attachment 3A in the folders, and if I can direct your attention to the bottom, line 9, we're 2 months into the fiscal year and have expended 18% of the budget, which is right around where we should be. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and if not, we would ask for your approval.
Any questions for Mr. Zegarty?
So moved.
Dave White, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. On to the technical progress report.
All right. Thanks again. Just a couple items that aren't on the agenda. One is the staff is currently working on a mid-block crossing analysis, so we're looking at blocks all over Summit and Portage County where it might be appropriate to consider putting some sort of a crosswalk based on traffic volume, the length of blocks, and so forth. And so we'll be presenting that at the December meeting. I think we'll be getting a draft out to all of you real soon. It's obviously not to say you should put crosswalks at all these locations, but it was one we thought some of them might be worth considering, and obviously be up to the local community what, if any, design treatment might be appropriate there. But we'll get that out, I think, in the next week or two so you guys can review it, give us comments, and so forth. Another announcement is the annual meetings coming up October 17th at the Sheridan Suites. We've already got, I think, close to 90 people registered, so that's pretty good at this point. I think it's going to be a great meeting. We've got David Giffels and Peter Kagiyama speaking. David and Peter are both writers who both happen to be from Akron. Peter lives in Florida now, but they both write a lot about place. And you might have heard of David Giffels' book, The Hard Way on Purpose, which is kind of about growing up in the Rust Belt and love of community and place. And then Peter wrote a book called For the Love of Cities, which is applicable really to towns, cities, villages, townships, any sort of a place, and talking about how you create community and engage people around what's important to them. So it'll be a little less technical than I think some of our agendas. It'll be one I think you can sit back and listen to what they have to say, and we'll have plenty of time for questions and answers. So, and as always, the Sheridan treats us really well with food, and I think we're going to, I think, Fred, we're going to probably do a little walking tour afterward, too, that Fred's working on setting up in Cuyahoga Falls for anybody who wants to do that afterward. One other thing on a community development theme, AMATS and the Knight Foundation are working right now on this pilot project called the Better Block. It's basically the idea of doing a temporary urban design improvement to a block, and then over time, seeing if you can create that on a more permanent basis. So if some of you came to our Switching Gears conference, you heard Jason Roberts speak about this. He's actually coming to our area to do one of these. The first one we're going to pilot is going to be on North Hill, where Cuyahoga Falls Avenue and Main Street meet. And where I think it has a lot of applications, we're interested in it from the transportation standpoint, because sometimes these will involve putting temporary bike lanes or widening the sidewalks or doing something else to the street, but they also involve reusing vacant businesses, making aesthetic improvements, and we think it's really relevant to communities throughout the region. I think every community has at least one spot where people have said, hey, we'd like to make this look a little bit better. And what's kind of neat about the concept is you don't have to spend a lot of money on it. A lot of times you can do, they're very grassroots. You can do one of these for like $2,000 sometimes even, and you get to see what it'll look like. And I was interviewed by WAKR earlier in the week, and they said, well, what good does it do if you just do this for a day and then take everything away, which was a really good question. And what I said was, it still lets people see what it could look like, and there's a certain power to that that doesn't necessarily come from just looking at an architect's rendering or something like that. And people, in order to do them so cheap, you get people to volunteer to do things. So you might have a nursery come out and put street trees out there for the day, and then they come haul them away. But the hope is it becomes permanent. So if any of you guys are interested more, you can see me afterward. Like I said, this will be the first one, but we'd like to, and I don't think AMATS will be involved in all these, but we wanted to help get the ball rolling so local communities and grassroots people might be able to do these in the future. And then finally, maybe most importantly, last meeting we talked a lot about the Highway Trust Fund and where things were in Congress, and since we're all sitting here today, you probably gleaned that they found the money to keep going, which they did, but that basically was by borrowing more money from the general fund, putting that into the trust fund. So that general dynamic we've seen for the last couple of years hasn't changed. The next time Congress gets together on the transportation bill and or the trust fund will be, there's one deadline in February and another one in May, and I can't recall which is which right now, but we'll basically be in that same spot again in February. I think there has been a little more discussion about revenue, and I think I had shared with all of you the letter that we sent. There was discussion at the policy committee, hey, can we get a letter out there? I've gotten some comments back from our members of Congress saying thanks for the letter. But I think anecdotally there's been a little more discussion, like I said, about how are we going to find a long-term solution. But I think there's still a little ways away on that. So we'll keep you posted. With that, sorry it went so long, but if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
If not, we'll move on to the AMATS Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C in your handout. Mr. Bodison.
Subcommittee next time they meet and come back to this committee and the policy committee with a final recommendation. Last thing I want to mention, in the next couple of months, we're going to start the process of updating our next GIP, and that will cover the years, fiscal years of 2016 through 2019. So in December, you'll likely see the first draft list of that TIP. And at that point, we simply ask that you make sure that you have the projects on there, if they have any federal funds in them. And then what will happen then is we'll go through that whole process of the TIP, and it should be approved. Majority of the work we'll be doing throughout the winter, and then it should be approved next spring. That's all I have on this item. Anybody has any questions?
Okay. We have no old business, so we're going to move right on to new business. 2011 to 2013 traffic crash technical memorandum, attachment 5A in your handout. Mr. Pillay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to discuss the traffic crash report this year for the years 2011 and through 2013. This afternoon we're going to discuss high crash sections and intersections. We'll review the ODOT safety program, which is where you can find some funding for these locations. And then something new this year, we're going to look at bicycle and pedestrian safety as kind of a second part of this memo.
Thanks, Seth.
Sorry,
we'll do it the old-fashioned way.
There we go. Okay, sorry about that. A couple changes that affect the number of crashes that's in our report this year. First of all, beginning in 2013, police departments do not have to report a crash where the property where there's no injuries and the property damage is under $1,000. And I talked to a police officer about this, and they said it's not a lot of crashes, and many times it's a crash where there's no visible damage or there's just very little damage, and vehicle owner actually doesn't want it reported. So that's one change. And the other change is Annex Rittman in Milton Township in Wayne County. And in this report, that accounted for another 441 crashes. Sorry about that. Crest trends are still down. The last year was up a little bit. 2013 was up a little bit. I think that what's important is when you look at just 1 year back, it's not a big change. But if you go back to 2002, we're actually having approximately 25% less crashes now than in 2002. So over the years, the total number of crashes have been decreasing, and the last few years they've stabilized. And then in 2013, they've ticked up just a little bit. Once we get our data, we kind of have to sort out the high crash location. So with roadway sections, it's 10 crashes per mile per year and a crash rate of 1. And with intersections, it's 10 crashes for the 3-year period and a crash rate of 1. Then once we get those sorted out, we rate them, and we rate them by a composite score. A composite score takes into account the number of crashes, the crash rate, and the severity index. And this is just a more balanced way to rank a location. Sections, there were 124 highway sections that met the minimum criteria. This is table 1 in your attachment 5A. And I just want to briefly touch on the top 5. 4 out of the top 5 are repeats from last year. The order might have varied a little bit. The new one is Water Street in Kent. That one is probably because of greater volumes, because of a change in traffic patterns, because of the Fairchild Bridge. And then also, that there's a lot of activity that's happening right through there. The good news is 2 of the top 5 sections have projects planned. So that's good. People are aware that there's a problem and funds have been applied for. There were 271 intersections that met the minimum criteria. This is table 2 in your handout. And once again, the top 5 are really the same top 5 as last year. They just changed order a little bit. And the good news is 3 of the top 5 have projects, funds and projects planned. Freeways, usually I don't talk too much about freeways, but this year, because I'm presenting this a little bit later than usual, ODOT didn't have their analysis done. ODOT does freeways, and they do it on the central office in Columbus. They divide the system up into urban and rural. They look at 1/10 of a mile section, and they only consider the top 50 rural and the top 50 urban in the whole state. In the AMAT area, we had 8 freeway sections. 4 of those were on the turnpike, and the other 4 you have in your handout on a map. Showing where they were. It was hard to describe them, so it was easier to just show them on a map. And most of them were close to the Akron CBD area. The ODOT safety program is one of the best in the country, I feel. We're very fortunate. There's $100 million awarded annually. Any location that's in your list is eligible. Funding is usually in April and September, and you should have your application in at least 6 months earlier. You can use it for studies, design, right-of-way, and construction. And local matches, it's a really good deal. The local match for this is only 10%. Bicycle and pedestrian crashes. These have some unique characteristics. First of all, they have a high percentage of injuries, 80% and 88% respectively. They're more random and spread out. It's hard to come up with a list of locations. I'd say the big difference between these crashes and the ones we just talked about was with those, you can actually come up with a list of locations. With these, this is almost more trend-oriented. It's harder to come up with exact locations to do improvements, maybe corridors at best. Many of them involve children, and a lot of the players in these accidents just don't know the rules they need to follow, including drivers. Up a little bit in 13, but as you can see over the years, they do kind of fluctuate up and down. I'm not sure why. 80%, once again, 80% injuries, and unfortunately, two fatalities in a 2 year period. This is something interesting. The 11 to 20 year old age group. Is the highest age group with these accidents that were involved in these crashes. And if you dive deeper into that range, 12-year-olds seem to be the age that were involved the most. They happen at intersections. 68% of these bicycle crashes occur at intersections. No big surprise, that's where you have your most conflict points and chances of making a mistake. When you look at intersections a little bit closer, this is what you find. They seem to be happening in crosswalks. You can see that 59 of them occurred in the crosswalk. And down a little ways, the first type of crash is the bike getting hit in the crosswalk. And then down a few is the bike actually hitting the car in the crosswalk. And then the second thing that's happening a lot in intersections is bikes are running red lights and stop signs. Police report out just as an example. This is kind of the perfect storm of things that occur at an intersection. You can see the biker is on the sidewalk, and then he's riding against traffic. This guy is probably in the car, is probably pulling up so he can see. And then to make matters worse, we have bushes which block visibility, and then you see this a lot too, where the vehicle, this happens, and then the vehicle left the scene without stopping. So that's most of them are not that drastic, but that's kind of an example of all the different things that can go wrong at an intersection. pedestrian crashes, they're down a little bit from 2011, pretty stable. 88% of these are injuries, and unfortunately 13 fatalities. Once again, the 11 to 28-year-old age group heavily involved in these. It doesn't drop off quite as fast. You have quite a few in the 21 to 30 age group also. But once again, a lot of children involved in these. They happen almost evenly between mid-block and intersections. So basically, they happen everywhere. And when you start looking at these reports, what you see is a lot of people are just darting out into traffic, not looking. I did want to, on the next slide, I did want to show you something interesting, though, between the mid-block and the intersection crashes. Pedestrian is at fault more, and then on the at the intersection, the vehicle is at fault more. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then at driveways, it's about the same. So concluding, crashes, injuries, fatalities up slightly in 13, but still stabilized and still much better than 10 years ago. All the locations are eligible for safety, highway safety program funding. And we have these sorted by community on our website. And you don't have to dig through that long list to find those unique to your community. AMATS does strongly recommend bike and pedestrian improvements when doing any highway project and integrating these into the planning process. We do have a website, Switching Gears, that offers a lot of valuable bicycle safety information. And please feel free to call AMATS if you have any questions. We also would like to offer our services to look at a location you may have, if you want to know more, just to see what's happening, or if you want to know if it's a good candidate to go ahead and try to apply for ODOT safety funds, we'd be happy to do a crash diagram and come out in the field and look at it for you. Just give our office a call. I'd be happy to try to help you out. And I do apologize for the laptop some malfunction. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
I was going to add one thing and then had a question for Dave. Nice job, Dave, pulling all that stuff together, because I think you guys saw a lot of different crash information about a lot of different aspects of what's going on with safety. But I did just want to augment what Dave said, that although we've helped communities in the past with analyzing crashes, we did want to create a little bit more formal program. So like Dave said, don't be shy. If you have a location you'd like us to do some preliminary engineering work on, I mean, it would be fairly simple, but to help set the stage for whether you feel like it's a strong enough candidate to apply to ODOT, that's what we're here for. We work for free. Your dues pay for all that. So please don't hesitate to ask. And then the second thing was, Dave, I know we've always done pretty well as a region on the safety funding. I think in part because both at the local level and through our office, we've tried to kind of be very proactive on applying for these. But do you have a feel for how we did in the last round of safety funding as a region? Or I don't know if
We've done fine. I think we got two or three projects last go round. And there's two or three are being applied for this month. I think Green, 241 Green is one of them. And
okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah, great. And Dave, you have anything to add on that?
I think that we're a well-respected region. when applying for safety.
And maybe to augment that too, I think Dave did a really nice job that you saw when we look at the top locations. There are quite a few that have projects in the works, and including on the freeway analysis, the one at Wolf Ledges and Broadway, Maine, and Grant Street with 76 and 77. So I think that's a nice sign that when we have these top locations, you're seeing the local governments, all of you in the state have been very proactive about designing projects, and we've been fortunate enough to get them funded.
Any other questions or comments for Mr. Pillay? Not, we request a motion to accept the traffic crash technical memorandum.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Mr. Pillay. Moving on, resolution 2014-12, adopting the revised AMATS funding policy guidelines. Attachment 6A in your handout. Mr. Gardner.
Several categories of funding subsequent to the latest federal legislation, MAP 21. In order to utilize these categories of funds, it's necessary to revise the funding policy guidelines. The staff is requesting three major changes to the funding policy, which include the addition of a new program, the Section 5339 program for bus and bus facilities. This new program provides Metro and PARTA with an additional $850,000 a year for capital purchases. Also, revisions to the Section 5310 Elderly and Disabled Program. This program will now be administered by the MPOs. In the past, ODOT administered it through their Columbus office. Consequently, it's necessary to revise the funding policy to include a project selection process and scoring criteria for projects. Program will provide approximately $500,000 per year for the transportation of the elderly and the disabled. Metro, PARTA, and the area social service agencies are eligible to apply for funds. And lastly, revisions were made to the Section 5307 Urban Formula Program. This program provides capital funds for public transit agencies. As Medina County Public Transit now serves a portion of the Akron urbanized area in Wadsworth, it is necessary to provide them with approximately $300,000 a year. The remaining $7.4 million per year is split between Metro and PARTA as they have split these funds in the past. The revised funding policy guidelines are posted on the AMATS website. If approved, the staff will present recommendations for the elderly and disabled projects in December. Resolution 2014-12 adopts the revised funding policy guidelines. The staff recommends approval.
If there's no questions, do we have a motion to approve?
Ask for a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Mr. Gardner, moving on to 2014-13, approving the fiscal year 2014 year-end completion report. Attachment 6B, Mr. Gardner also.
This memo discusses the staff budget and expenditures for the fiscal year that just ended on June 30th. The purpose of the attached resolution is to approve the fiscal year 2014 year-end completion report for transmittal to ODOT for their review. We do this annually, and then we'll meet with ODOT usually in October, first week of October, in order to finalize the fiscal year. Within Attachment 6B is a financial summary for all of the work elements scheduled during the last fiscal year. In summary, the staff budget was approximately $1.8 million. Nearly $1.7 million was expended, with the remainder available for this fiscal year's use through December 31st. A number of significant products and activities were accomplished by the staff during the last fiscal year, such as the allocation and management of federal funds, including ground funding, traffic counting program, high crash location report, the development of a statewide CMAC program, and a new coordinated plan for elderly and disabled transportation in the area. All planning work for fiscal year year 2014 was completed and expenditures were within the budgeted amounts. Staff recommends approval of resolution 2014-13.
Questions or comments?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 2014-14, approving projects to be submitted to the statewide congestion mitigation air quality funding program, attachment 6C. Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. Maybe I'll start off with just a little bit of background. ODOT gets CMAQ funds from Federal Highway Administration. They're not required to sub-allocate or pass those on to the FDOs, but they always have. The problem became that over the years, the FDOs had trouble spending down those balances, so each and every year we have large balances of CMAQ funds being carried over all the time. So what I didn't take those funds back, but what they did require was that the CMAQ funds become a statewide program, and that instead of us getting competing at our own level for those funds, we're not going to be competing with all the rest of the FDOs in Ohio. But what we did do is we came up with a policy ourselves. All the FDOs got together to come up with this policy, and we'll also manage those funds for the program. So here at our local level, that was about a year and a half ago when ODOT said that, and it took us probably a little bit less than a year to kind of go back and forth and mesh everybody's policies together from around the state so that everybody's comfortable with something. So that was completed earlier this year. Then in May of this year, we started a round of funding here at our local level. The applications were due at the end of June. And if you look at the table, it shows the projects that were submitted. There were 10 of them from our area, but you see down there the last one, number 11, is from ODOT. They submitted that to the statewide program a while ago, but what was decided was that all the MPOs would individually look at this study. It's a study and score it on our own level first before we bring it down to the statewide level to look at it. But when the TIP subcommittee was looking at, this is a study, so what this program does is the project has to reduce emissions, and the study doesn't reduce emissions. The project that comes out of that study would reduce emissions, though. So this TFP subcommittee just said that it was unscorable, so that's why it has the bar right there, the total score is at zero. So anyhow, we considered it, and again, that will be dealt with when we take it down to statewide level, but this was our decision locally, was basically not to score that project. So there were 10 projects that were submitted, and again, the one from ODOT was approximately $30 million. We're requesting funds. This is, and then on the far right, again, the total score. One of the unique things with this scoring criteria is one of them is priority points. So you go through and you score all the projects, and then you award additional points to up to four projects. And we did that, and the way that was done was simply, this is the same order that the project scored in, and we went to the top four and gave them the additional points. But it was like, I believe it was 10, 7, 4, and 2. So the top four projects. Example number one, it was originally at 42 points, but it got 10 more points, and now it's at 52. And we've seen some of the scoring from some of the other MPOs that submitted their funding, because we were actually supposed to submit this a couple of days ago. And the scoring is, we're in line with us, the other ones that submitted their scoring so far on the projects that have won this. So this is a list of projects. What will happen at this point once this is approved? Like I said, it's already down at ODOT, at the statewide committee. We're going to start to look at it in a couple weeks, and then hopefully by the end of the calendar year, know which projects are approved, drop to the state, and then we'll come back to this committee to let you know. So with that, the tax equity subcommittee and the staff recommend approval of submitting this list of prioritized projects down to the statewide CMAQ.
Questions or comments? We have a motion to approve.
Dave White, move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Approved. Resolution 2014-15, approving amendment number 15 to the Transportation Improvement Program, fiscal year 2014-17, to add three new projects, combine two projects into one, and revise the funding or schedule to eight existing projects. Attachment 16 in your handout, Mr. Pillay.
Thank you. Thank goodness we don't need a projector for this. Attachment 60 is resolution 2014-15. There's three new projects being added. Cyberlink Way is a demolition project in Akron to remove a structure. Interstate 76, 77 bridge repairs are two separate bridge deck replacements in Akron. And Interstate 271 slide repair is an embankment repair in Northfield Center Township. In Hudson, we're combining two projects, Brandywine Drive and Blackberry Drive are being combined into one project. And then there's eight other projects, existing projects, where the scope of work funding or schedule is being modified. And if there's any specific questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Questions or comments? Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Moving right along. We have to form a 2015 nominating committee. Do I have any volunteers to be part of the nominating committee? Everybody just smiles and looks around.
I'll be part of the nominee.
Okay. Bob, anybody else?
I'll go. As long as you buy us lunch, that's the tradition.
Lunch?
Yeah.
Right. All right, I guess then we got it, huh?
Yeah, we usually do two or three plus the chairman, so I think you'll have enough people with Dave and Bob, but if anybody else volunteers or calls you later, it's fine to have three people, too.
All right. Appreciate that. We'll be in contact and go from there. With that, I guess we move to adjournment.
One quick, and I promise I'll be brief because I don't want to keep you guys between now and this beautiful day. But since we've been in this spot for a while, just curious, I know I've talked to some of you about parking, and I know sometimes it's not the best parking situation out there now that school's back. But I was just curious if there were any comments or thoughts on, is this newer spot good enough, or is the parking such a problem that you'd like to go somewhere else? Or because we can work on whatever's most convenient for you. And if you don't have any super crystallized thoughts right now, you can always call me or send me an email too, but I wanted to at least give you the chance to weigh in if anybody had any thoughts on that.
Works perfect.
Did anybody else walk into locked doors that would let us into the Quaker Square?
I did.
Yeah. I had to wait till somebody came out to get in.
Yeah, and that is an ongoing issue, and I know I was even talking to some of the staff earlier where it's sometimes it's unclear where you can come in. My best advice is if you go in the door where the overhang is, where the front desk of the hotel used to be, that one's always open. And then I think the ones that are along the old Quaker Square shops, sometimes they're open and sometimes they're not.
They were locked today. Actually, you could get in up there. You get down that long hallway.
And then you can't get any farther, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, if you find a student that wants to let you. And then, so if you have thoughts on it, though, as we go forward, we always want to find somewhere it's convenient for all of you to meet, too. So just let us know.
Okay, the next regular meeting is going to be Thursday, December 11th, right here at the same place at 1:30. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
I'll move.
Second.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.